When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to a new episode of A View from the Stands, and we have a really special episode in store for you today. Breaking from our usual routine, we pass this platform over to the able hands of HD's football correspondents Dhiman Sarkar and Bhargav Sarma, who've got, of all people, Sunil Chhetri with them for an interview. So, Rudra, what else can you tell us about what's in store? And are you looking forward to listening to Chhetri?
Most certainly I am. Sunil is a wonderful, he's one of my favorite players, actually. A wonderful person as well. And what started out between Dhiman, Bhargav and Chhetri as a simple conversation, and I was listening to this just a while ago, quickly turned into basically a masterclass on football, on elite wow. level football. And Sunil really opened up and spoke in detail about his physical training, mental training, all sides of playing football. Basically, he started talking about how difficult it was for him during the lockdown, during the pandemic, to be without access to a football pitch, without training, without a team, you know, things like that, which footballers obviously take for granted. They do it all year round.
Of course.
Then he sort of started to realize that there is an opportunity here to work on things that he has never found the time to work on. For example, he said that there was a left hamstring niggle that he's had for a couple of years now. And of course, you know, throughout the season, they work a little bit on it, but they never have the time to really focus on the thing the way that it should be. And so, you know, he said that, you know, he started doing that. He started taking specific body parts and focusing on that. And he feels that at 36, he's in what he says is the best physical condition of his life. So it's a deeply technical conversation about training, about football training, about also Cristiano Ronaldo and how he has learned from Ronaldo, because Ronaldo, you know, became only the second player in the world to hit 100 goals for his country. And not many people know this maybe, but that list is led by Ali Dei of Iran. Second comes Cristiano Ronaldo. And the third all-time highest scorer for a country is Sunil Chhetri at 72 odd goals. And Lionel Messi, for example, follows Chhetri.
That's right.
So, you know, he speaks a lot about how he's learned from Ronaldo, and he started off their careers around the same time. And he talks about how he's learned a lot from just watching Cristiano play and the work ethic and all of that. So, and his box speaks about the pandemic measures that will be taken during the ISL, which is scheduled to begin soon, and how he's training right now.
Oh, sounds absolutely fabulous. I cannot wait to hear what he has to say. Apart from that, the times didn't really intersect, but wasn't Chhetri also in Lisbon, which is exactly where, you know, Ronaldo kind of like grew in stature before he attracted the attention of Manchester United. And also, the other reason why I'm really looking forward to listening to what he has to say is because apart from being an absolutely fabulous footballer, he's also very eloquent, and not too many players have that, right? So,
absolutely.
Without further ado, over to Dhiman, Bhargav, and the absolutely sensational captain of the Indian football team. Here we go.
Hello and welcome to this podcast.
Today, we are joined by the captain of India and Bengaluru Football Club, Sunil Chhetri. He is India's all-time leading goal scorer with 72 goals. And he is a footballer who has shown that you can get younger with time. Sunil, thank you for joining us. I am Bhargav Sharma, and joining me from Kolkata is my co-host, Himan Sarkar.
Hi, Sunil.
Hi, thank you so much. Hello, both of you.
Hi. So, Sunil, it's been over 6 months since you last played a competitive game. Is this the longest gap in your career?
Yeah, indeed. This is the longest one by far. And generally, we footballers, especially the ones who play for the country, also keep whining about playing too many games and not getting enough rest at the end of the season. But this time, we got one, not ideal situation, but a long one. I would never prefer such a long break. But yes, 6 months is the longest that I've been without playing any competitive game.
Yeah, and Sunil, this is 6 months is going to be 8 months before, assuming that the ISL starts at the end of November. Could you sort of talk us through how was the lockdown for you when it began from between March and May? And were you housebound? Could you get any training done? How was it for the first part of the lockdown?
The date was announced and we could sense that now we have to be inside the house, and also to understand the impact of what's going to happen. At that moment, I thought, you know what, maybe 1 month or maybe 2 months. I did not have, you know, the exact number of days that I'm going to be inside. And also, I think I was a little bit more insensitive and selfish, because I was thinking about myself, thinking that I will not be able to train outside. Why is this happening? Why am I inside? I should have gone out. But then probably after March and the half of April went, I understood it's much bigger than my training and my going out. It's much bigger than a lot of things. It is a lot of people's lives at stake. And I think it also gave me a bigger perspective. It came in a bad way because I could see the kind of havoc that was created because of the COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And also it made me more calmer. I think it made me more kinder, because there are miles more problems in the world than just not being allowed to go and train. When I looked at it, I had my problems were nothing. The shame that I was crying about not training and not going to the gym or the ground, where people were continuously fighting for lives, for the next meal, for shelter. And I'm not trying to just sound nice, but it really shook me, because, you know, I don't know if you remember, but Amphan followed and then the Assam floods followed. Right. And then you keep seeing and hearing about people losing their lives, losing their old livelihoods, the whole family coming on road, people not knowing what to eat, what to do next. So at that moment, I was, to be honest, very thankful for the kind of life I have. Also, it made me more aware and a little bit more kinder. Me, my wife and a few of my teammates tried to be a little bit more of help, because we are the fortunate ones who have a lot more than what we need. And then slowly after the realization hit, I kept thanking my luck, and was more calmer and happier, and made use of whatever I could inside my house. I used to train every day inside with whatever I had. I had few dumbbells, I had few bands, a small space inside my house only, and I made most of it. And also looked back upon those 1 month where I was whining about not going out and training. In life, you realize there are so many more things than just your small selfish needs.
Yeah, I mean, as you have reminded, none of us could have even imagined the kind of things that have happened this year. And we go back to April and May, the time, the strictest periods of those lockdowns. As you said, it was obviously a terrible time for everyone. But from your perspective, for a footballer, when you have been stuck at home for 2 months, and then when things were starting to open up again in May, what kind of change did it bring to the way you train and the way you eat as a footballer?
See, I think initially the restlessness was also more because I am not getting any younger. I do realize that each and every day I am getting more towards finishing my career. I mean, of course, I generally try to stay away from all these thoughts, because in my head, I'm always young. And in my head, I think I'm always going to continue. But you got to be realistic. So I think the initial shock and the initial reaction was more because I was missing out on training and missing out on playing games. And that's not very conducive for somebody who's already 36. Mm-hmm. But then I, as I said, I was more calmer. Once, I think in mid-May or June, I was I traveled to Bellary, where there is IAS, our JSW, which is amazing facility. I could go there and I could train. So I had about 2 weeks there, came back for a week of Bangalore to just rest. And again, I went for 2 weeks. It really helped that even, you know, my missus accompanied me so I could go there and train. That really gave me a lot of confidence, because you have, when you have a pitch and a gym and you can, you know, get back to training, it is really helpful, especially after 2.5 months of training at home. And you know what, I realized that this was a very welcome change, because generally you never get time to train on specific body parts or specific movements. I did a thorough checkup of myself, like what all are the niggles and the parts that I was neglecting. What happens is when in a season you feel a little bit pain, you do something here and there and you continue. Again, you feel a little pain, you do. I mean, you never play. I don't remember playing completely pain-free in the last so many years. So this time around, I had a sore hamstring, which bothered me for the last 1.5-2 years. I think right after the Asia Cup. So this time, I took an injection March end, before the lockdown started. I was advised 1.5-month break complete. And then I started slowly doing the rehab on my left hamstring and slowly and steadily started strengthening it. And while I was doing it, I also realized there were so many other parts that I could work on. And not saying that I'm going to score plenty of goals again, but I feel much better now physically. Much, much better. I also realized the importance of rest, especially at this age. As important as it is to give your best, on the pitch in the gym, it is also important for me, especially, to take rest. And I think I do well once I get rest. You know, my condition on the pitch was miles better when I could use more of rest. So that's one education that I got from this whole lockdown, and I just hope that I could continue it.
So what were the other niggles that you're talking about? I understand a football player never really being pain-free, given the kind of schedule that a footballer usually has. But apart from your hamstring, what was the other areas that were bothering you and that you could sort of, you know, tend to in this time now?
Yeah, to give you a little bit of technicalities, I am predominantly right-footed. That yes. means I plant my left foot a lot. Okay. So my quads and hamstring of my left side has been used much more than my right side. Although I use my right side more for shooting.
Right.
So my hamstring quads balance of left right, it was hugely impacted.
Uh-huh.
And that is why. So my hamstring of left side wasn't getting injured because it was weak. It was getting injured more because it was used much more than my right side.
As in more overwork.
So in the gym, yes. So in the gym, the work was a lot less on the left hamstring just to maintain it, and more on the right hamstring so that it gets used to it. I did a lot of jump tests while I was in IAS. There's someone called Spencer who's from Scotland. Lovely guy, very educated. And he showed me the jumps that I was using so much of my left side. And then we understood it wasn't because it's weak, but it was overused. So all the gym plans for the next 2 weeks before I took a break, and again 2 weeks, was all of trying to maintain the left side and letting the right side work more. And eventually after 1.5 months, we saw a massive change. And while the change happened, because you know what, sometimes when somebody tells you do this and the change will happen, you never notice it. You do it because the guy is telling you and he's more knowledgeable.
Right.
But after 1.5 months, I could feel the change. I could feel the change on my jumps, on the way I was trying to start a sprint from my right side. Everything was very specific. And generally, this is something that you don't get time for. You know, you never get time for these things to work, to isolate a part, to work the other part more, or to realize what's happening. So I think it was a blessing in disguise. And I'm really happy now.
Okay. How's training now? Are you with teammates or are you going solo still now in Bangalore?
No, I'm still solo. A few of the boys have come to Bangalore. I'm sure you guys know it. There are so many tests to be done. So I think we are waiting for the whole team to undergo the test.
Okay.
Then we might, again, I use the word, we might go to Bellary for our preseason. And then we're also waiting for our foreign contingent of players and coaches to come.
To come, yes.
But for now, I haven't had a single session with my team.
Okay.
When I was in Bellary, there are a few boys like Simba Hawkip, who is nursing an injury, and few B team boys. So we could train for small 4-5 hour side.
Okay.
But as a team, we haven't trained. It's been six, seven months. We haven't trained as a team.
That is, this time it's definitely not going to be a very normal ISL, of course. Sunil, before we discuss the Indian football season, the upcoming season, I just wanted to know your thoughts on something that happened very recently. Cristiano Ronaldo reached a landmark of 100 international goals. Now, you have yourself done exceedingly well at the international stage, 72 goals and counting. If you look at Cristiano's achievement, he's only the second footballer to have reached 100 international goals. How do you rate this particular achievement of his?
I mean, it's extraordinary, unbelievable, man. I mean, that guy, he's just a monster when it comes to scoring goals. You know, I've been following him right from when he started. Him and me started our careers right at the same time. And he has been such an inspiration. One of the best things that I like about him when I followed him is the way he has acclimatized to different phases of his life, to the different teams that he's played. You know, Cristiano Ronaldo who came to Manchester United with a lot of dribblings, a lot of trickery, playing on the wings more, making more assists, and then slowly and steadily being the goal-scoring monster that he is, coming towards less touches, less dribbling, one touch, two touch, getting into the box. For me, right from the start, he has got so many attributes, amazing attributes. For me, his best is the runs that he makes inside the box and his headers. He's an unbelievably good header and he times it so well. And it's funny that I say it because most people will not even realize this because of the number of goals he has scored of different ways. So the way he has changed his game according to the kind of teams he has played and according to the kind of phase he was in his life is just extraordinary. The number of goals he has scored, both for the club and the country, the number of goals he has scored against the opponents and the kind of tournaments that he has played against big teams, it's unparalleled. Scoring 100 goals internationally is not a mean feat. We know it. And the way he has done it is unbelievable. He's just an inspiration. And you don't think that he's going to stop. You know, that's the best part. He's not... I mean, he's 35 plus. And it doesn't seem that he's just there and you know, just moving about. And because he's Cristiano Ronaldo, he's still the main guy in the team. Not only with his goal scoring, of course, which is one of the most important things. Funny that a striker is saying that. But, you know, just the way he is, the way he works hard, he's such an inspiration. I mean, the number of times I look at him, I think, you know what, let's give more to myself. I can't even count. The number of times I see him on his social media handles or in YouTube, the way he takes care of his body, his diet, the way he's mad about improving every day is something that I learn from. And if anyone needs an example, he's the best example in the world.
So what you're saying is it is not just training, right, Sunil? I mean, it is, like you said, it almost beggars belief that the guy is 35 and counting and he still seems to be as effective, if not more. So, I mean, what do you think gets him to do this? And I ask this of someone who is pretty much doing the same thing in his own sphere. I mean, how do you explain the longevity of a football player like this?
I think there are many factors, but the most important one, according to me at least, is the hunger. The want to still want it. Okay. You know, when imagine he's 35 and apart from the World Cup, he has won everything. But still to get up and be the most hardworking, that's an unbelievable hunger and love for the game. If you don't have it when you're 35, it's very, very difficult to do what he is doing. Apart from your skill and talent. Right. You might be very talented and very skillful, but if you don't want to and want to badly, you will not be able to achieve it. Because then imagine if you're Cristiano Ronaldo and if you've done everything and still when you see and read about him from his teammates, he's the first guy, he's the last guy to go. One of the games he did not play and one of the fellow teammates asked him, you know what, let's go and have dinner. He's like, you know what are you doing after dinner? Let's go and train. Imagine a Cristiano Ronaldo after a game saying that. And it's just not one-off or a fluke. Every teammate of his talks like that. It's just a testimony of how badly he wants it. And when you can put on that hard work and the kind of experience he has and the kind of talent he has, and you want to work hard, there's no stopping him. You know, I've always said this, that once you have played the game for so many years, you kind of have a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience. And if you can mix that with the same kind of desire that you had when you were 17 and with the knowledge that you have right now in the world, you know, a lot of players, let's say 10, 15 years back, did not know exactly what works in a holistic manner. But now the information is there, what to eat, how much to sleep, the physios, the doctors, we get, I mean, all, at least the top players, we get so much of help and knowledge around. I mean, right now, I'm not trying to boost myself, but when I started my hamstring rehab, I had three different doctors every day calling me. There were two physios who were working on me, giving me exercises. And even if that, after that, if I join it with whatever desire that I have, life becomes easier. And I'm not saying, I'm not taking anything away from Cristiano Ronaldo, but all the knowledge and all the facility he has comes up handy when he wants it badly.
Right.
You know, and it just mixes up well. And that is why you can see players playing same way when they are 35 plus also. Round sports, not only in football.
We have spoken about your longevity. I mean, it's been incredible. You have been playing professionally for almost 2 decades now. And during this time, from the time you started till now, the entire landscape of Indian football has really changed during this period. Players, for example, are getting paid better than they were when you were starting out. But do you think today, at this point of time, there are enough opportunities, enough jobs for Indian players and Indian coaches at the top level today?
I will not be able to comment on the coaches because I don't know much. But players, definitely yes. I know there are a few talks about Indian stopper backs and strikers not getting enough chances, which is partially true. But if you see the larger picture, many, many more players can take and think about taking football professionally. If you add the I-League, if you add the ISL, the opportunities are more. Now a player can think and decide and plan his future as professionally to be a football player as compared to what it was 15 years back when I started, or 18 years back when I started. It's much better. But because we want to reach at least the top 10 in Asia soon, we compare ourselves with the best teams and best countries. And that's where we find a lot of things missing. And that's where the comparison comes. But if just plainly comparing what it was 15 years back and now, it is much, much, much better.
What kind of things would you say we are missing compared?
Yeah, the first thing that I said is we don't have enough stopper backs, a very technical thing, and strikers. And that is because now when it's 5 or the next year when it's announced it's going to be 4 foreigners, mostly the clubs go for strikers and stopper backs, and I there is no one that you can blame completely. That is one of the reasons why the gap between the number of wingers we produce and the number of strikers and stopper backs we produce, it'll be a little bit better next year because of the 4+1 foreigner rule. Also, the number of teams improving and increasing will really, really help. Imagine if we have, let's suppose, 14 teams in ISL, 14 teams in I-League, closely contesting tournament, and also backed by a very stable second division. And if you are fortunate, as soon as possible, the third division, that's how it helps. The more good tournaments for everyone, the better for players. You can train at the best level with the best coaches, but if you don't play matches, you will not improve. It is a simple match and a simple formula. I think I was talking to Mr. Divan the other time and I told him about Manveer. Now, Manveer, when I look at him in training, he's an absolute beast. He's a great boy. He's very, very honest. He's a good striker, but he will never know how to score goals unless he plays matches. Because in training, no matter how many goals he scores, he will never know what happens in a game. Because in a game, nothing is planned. You will only know once you're in the game. So unfortunately, last 3 years that I'm seeing him, he hasn't played enough games. So when he comes to the national team, he's still the most hardworking. He's still so good. But for a coach to take a chance of playing him in the first 11 minimizes because he doesn't know what he's going to do in the game. And in a national team, we don't get many matches. So you can't even blame Mr. Igor Stimac of maybe or may not be playing him. So I, in between, we are talking, Mr. Dhivan, if you remember, of
I do, yes,
probably keeping a reserve league, of having a reserve league where, let's suppose Saturday, a Suresh or a Amarjeet or a you know Manveer does not start in the first 11 in ISL. The next day only, if let's suppose ATK is playing BFC, and few of our young boys don't play, and few of ATKs, next day only they should play a competitive game. At least they will get games. He will never know what to do on the pitch unless he plays games. So that is why one of the main reasons how we can improve is having more tournaments, more legitimate, proper contested tournaments. So having ISL different 11 teams, 10 teams, whatever, and having 10, 11 teams in I-League helps. What was happening, I don't know if you remember, but the first 2 years, the same player, the same Chetri, the same Jingan, the same good people playing the ISL.
Playing both leagues.
And we only playing. That is not conducive. Because then the other players will never get. Susay Raj would have never been identified and discovered.
Right.
You know, now we talk about Susay Raj. Imagine he would have never got the chance. Like that, there are many players, many, many players who got opportunity because of 20 teams at least playing competitive football. Now, if we increase it to 30, 40, that's where all the young ones are going to get the right chance. You know, and that's what we're going to improve. The more the youngsters play games at the young age, the better the development is going to be.
But Sunil, don't you think that infrastructure is a problem? I mean, it's a great idea to have more teams, but where will they play? Do we have enough stadiums? Do we have enough training pitches? How do you sort of, you know... get around that?
Yes, that is going to be issue of the kind of, the answer that I provided you. It will be issue of infrastructure. But let me take you back to the first ISL. So I was sitting at home and we had already announced that Bangalore FC will not send their players.
Right.
And they announced that in 3 months, they will start the ISL. And I was thinking, 3 months, how will they even do it? Where are the grounds? You know, how are they going to do it? And when the ISL started, there were 8 proper grass fields with amazing dressing rooms.
Right.
Everything. So, that meant a big, big name like the Reliance came in, the IMGR, and they made it happen. Now, I'm not saying that the onus is on them. But if everyone comes together in a diverse country like ours, finding a ground, making it available is not going to be difficult, at least not impossible. There are so many fields now in Bangalore, and I know it because now I find any grass field and I go and think of training. There are so many in the outskirts of the near the airport. We are about to host an ISL in Goa. That means imagine the number of pitches that they're going to be there.
Yes,
it is just finding the right people to come together and to arrange this. It is not going to be easy. It cannot be done by one person or a company or one avenue. It has to be everyone coming together. It is very it's very nice and heartening to see our sports minister come and speak openly about providing whatever it needs for an athlete. I personally have spoken to him and I'm a fan. So I think if all of us come together, finding the right ground infrastructure, getting the right decent coaches and knowledge is not going to be difficult. Because the day we achieve this, that everyone in the country who is good, he or she, and are young, are identified the right time and given the right nourishment, we can achieve so much, so much. We will be miles better than what we are right now.
I mean, that is definitely something that many Indian football fans want, a very strong league structure with very good, big 15-20 team league, ISL, and similar kind of strength in the lower leagues as well. Now, coming back to this season of the ISL, Sunil, how different do you think this will be? Have you received any kind of information about how you're going to train and how this is going to pan out the opening week?
See, the little that I've known now, and I don't know if I'm allowed to spill the beans, but there are going to be so much testing and it'll be so strict. And I know why they're doing it, just to make it as safe as possible. I hope, and via your medium, I'm just telling all the boys who are going to be involved, please be sensible. It is not nice when you hear news of somebody breaking the bubble or trying to be a little bit, adventurous. It is going to take a lot of patience. It's not easy to be inside a bubble for 5.5-6 months. I understand more so for the young ones because they're not used to it. Ancient fossils like me are all right to just sit in a room and relax. But for this, for the safety of the league and just so that there can be sports, there can be live sports, not the most ideal situation where fans can't come, but at least they can watch it on telly. For that to happen, we all have to be very, very sensible. We all have seen what this pandemic is. We all have seen the what is on stake. So whenever we go, I think 1st October is the tentative date for every team to come together and start training. So wherever you're going to start training, either you're going to come to Goa or you're going to choose your own facility, wherever you are, please be careful. Take as much precaution as possible to keep yourself safe so that we can have a flawless league, which is very, very important. A lot effort is going to go, and it's not only the league's prerogative or the club's duty to make it safe. It's the onus is on all of us. We all have to come in together and try to be as safe as possible. It is going to be very strict because of what I've heard and read. So I hope the players come mentally ready for it.
Sunil, no sport so far has really tried the kind of duration of the bubble that we are talking about in the ISL. Assuming we stick to the home and away, assuming we stick to the 18-game format, it is, like you said, going to be close to 6 months. Now, I mean, 50, 51 days, players start complaining of mental fatigue. How do you think players will be able to cope with this despite their best efforts? How do you think that's going to happen?
Well, that's why I think now if there was any blueprint as to something happened before and I could say it or give it to players, I can't. There is none. This is a first-time experience. So as our club, what we are trying is to first access the kind of the ground that we're going to get in terms of hotel, where we can move, how much we can move, what's the bubble like, and then creating as much space as possible. For example, we're trying to, and I hope other clubs don't copy this, but we're trying to fix a volleyball court for hand volleyball and foot volleyball inside the premises where we allowed. We're going to have a gaming room where there'll be different board games. You know, we're going to try and have seminars, different kind of seminars, not only sports wise but also on financial education. My God, my club is going to kill me that I'm just telling everything and people are going to follow this now. Okay. So I think just to make sure that people are kids, especially the players, are more occupied, also trying to find a way where ones who need their families to come, how we can keep them safe, probably have a small children playground for the ones who have kids. Okay. So all these things have to be, and again, all this thing has to be under the bubble. It's not going to be easy.
Right.
It is not going to be easy at all, but it's the ISL is going to be super strict. And I just hope the clubs can find a way of maneuvering as much as possible inside the bubble, just so that we can sustain the 5 months, 5.5 months, and also shouldn't be like, you know, the players and everyone shouldn't feel like we are trapped, because it might be the case. It's not going to be for me. As I said, I'm all right sitting in and just relaxing. But for everyone, the mental health is very, very important. You don't want somebody to give up and just go out and you know, just crack.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's on every club. Translates to every player. And we just have to do it. I mean, it's miles better than not playing. We know what we're getting. We're getting to play. So, everybody should understand the value of it. You know, as players, imagine something wrong happens. And something drastic happens. And the government comes in, let's suppose, giving a hypothetical example. And they say, no ISL. Imagine what a catastrophe they're going to be. So I think we all have to be in this together and try to be as safe as possible.
Cool.
Yeah. It'll definitely be a tricky affair for everyone involved in ISL and I-League this season. Sunil, before we wrap up, I just want to know a couple of things, your thoughts on a couple of things about the national team. Recently, the social media was commemorating the 1 year anniversary of the goalless draw in Qatar. It was an amazing result for India and the Indian football fans. But I mean, even after that match, we have even after that result, we have just 3 points from 5 matches. What do you think are the factors behind what seems like a very underwhelming position in the World Cup qualifier?
I don't think there is anyone in the country who is more sad and depressed about the 3 points that we have from number of games we have played, because this probably was my last shot at the qualifiers. So the highs and lows that I've witnessed with the last 5 matches is unbelievable, because when I saw my team play the Qatar game, and you were talking about hope, isn't it, about where we are, that game gave me so much hope. That is what is possible if we have the right boys, the right coaching, the right, you know, mentality. That's what we are capable of. It is not easy. It wasn't a fluke that you go to Qatar at Doha, play against one of the best, if not the best team in Asia, and
Asian champions,
that kind of,
yes.
Yeah, and churn out that kind of performance. So that gave me so much of hope. And from there, to play the way we played against Bangladesh at home and Afghanistan away was such a low. And let me start blaming the ones who are responsible. It is no one but us players, and especially our strikers. And and there is no going around it. As simple as that. I still remember there was a corner. We were 1-1 against Afghanistan, and I missed from point blank range. Now you can't change things. You don't win these qualifiers with big margins. I still remember the Bangladesh game where we missed so many chances. Mm-hmm. Then you can't blame anyone else. So if we get 6 points from there, things look so differently, and that's what we deserved after what we did against Qatar. And then you can't blame anyone else. You can't blame anything else. And I spoke the same thing inside the dressing room, that it's sad that the whole team is going to be blamed, right from the AFF, the management, the coaches. They aren't doing anything wrong. We are really doing everything right inside the camp. Everyone is working hard. The poor physios and the doctors, they're working so hard. And if we strikers especially go out and do what we did against Bangladesh home and Afghanistan away, you just have to raise your hands and say, we are sorry. Because that was such a good performance. I think the last 8 minutes against Oman should not have happened.
Yes,
we
in
played
Guwahati,
so
yes.
well that game. Imagine, and I know life doesn't work like that, imagine this would happen, that would happen. But if we see that game through, then we are 3 points there. And then we go to Qatar and play the way we played and do simple things, basic things against Bangladesh and Afghanistan away, you wouldn't have been asking me this question. My dreams would have been still on, and I wouldn't be the most depressed person as far as the qualifiers are concerned. Sorry to cut you, Bhagav, but the way I look at it now is, because I can't even tell you how many days I've mourned about this. But the way I look at it is now, every game that I play for my country, I don't know how many games I'm going to play. We want to try and achieve what we achieved against Qatar. Not the result-wise, but performance-wise. Because that's what we are capable of. And it will be so unfortunate that we don't aspire to at least get that kind of performance. More so because we are capable of. So every match, and I told the boys, every match, we all should at least aim to give whatever we have as what we did against Qatar. That game should be our benchmark. Now, win or lose, if we keep doing that, trust me, the good days for Indian football are not far. And I know we have used this word a long time, but that kind of performances gives you assurance that this is what you're capable of.
We definitely hope there are many more such results and performances to come. We'll of course have to wait and see when international football resumes in Asia. Sunil, I'd like to thank you for your insight into your own career and so many other things that we discussed today. The ISL season is about to start in a couple of months' time, and you have our best wishes. We hope you keep doing what
Indeed.
You have.
Indeed.
Thank
Sunil,
you so much, Bob.
Thank you again for your time, Sunil. Stay safe, and here's to a good ISL for you again.
Thank you so much, Bhagav. Thank you so much, Dimanda. You do take care. And see you soon.
Too. Yeah. See you Thank soon. Bye.
Take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, and really hope that you enjoyed this as much as Rudra and I did. We'll be back next week to discuss all that's happened over the IPL weekend. You're going to have a regular episode again. Thank you very much.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.